Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned into the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You're tuned into the voice of an entire nation. Welcome to the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is none other than Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God Allah, who is with us today in person. And we forever give praise and thanks to our God for leaving in our midst a divine reminder of His majesty, His glory, and His greatness in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audiences with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise in the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you. We say to you all in both their name with love, As-salamu alaykum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com/Hiram1555, Facebook.com/Hiram1555, BlogTalkRadio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly TrumpetOfTruth.wordpress.com and also formerly SalaamJournal.com and SalaamJournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. And we would also like to thank the contributors to the Hiram1555 blog and the Star and Crescent Report blog radio show, Sister Janet, Sister Tangelus, Brother Amir, Brother Gerald, Brother Hakeem Zahir, and it's a few other brothers and sisters that I have, Sister Jackie, and it's a few more others that I have to bring your names forward as soon as they appear to me. While I'm talking to you all, I'm watching the screens of the world news. So right now, some of it is not clicking, but I believe that's the majority of the brothers and sisters who have donated. And if you don't have your Muslim cookbook, go to Amazon.com or go to the Hiram1555 blog and order yours today. It's hundreds of recipes up in there for a little good or nothing. And also, go get your copy of Warning to the Hypocrites, The Prodigal Son, especially The Prodigal Son in this day and time. And self-preservation is the first law of nature, and if you have any children, go to the Hiram1555 blog and get our online e-books, Little Hiram and the Journey to Self and Little Hiram and the Temple of Doom. Please help support the most powerful show and website for truth on the face of planet Earth, the Star and Crescent Report and the Hiram1555 blog. Today's show is titled The Point of No Return. I had other things in mind for the show today, but as I was looking up on some of the things that were transpiring in America and around the globe, it switched my mind, and I thought about it. I said, man, this devil is being hit on every end. This devil is losing everything, and no matter how much we try to integrate in his system, and no matter how much we believe that we have arrived in his society, the customary rule of the Caucasian is to vent his frustration out on that man that he sees that has eternal life, the so-called American Negroes and the Aboriginal Black Nation around the globe. All while God has them under judgment, they still are wicked to the core against you and I. You know, NATO, N-A-T-O, NATO, which is the North Atlantic Terrorist Organization run by America and all of the European nations, along with Australia and Canada and New Zealand. These nations are invading black and Islamic countries under false pretexts and have populations within their own societies of black people. And as you try to integrate in their society, they use your love for them. They use your ignorance of them to further entrench white domination and power. And this is no longer working. Look what they did, how they got rid of Gaddafi and other black leaders to destabilize Africa. They had worked on these plans prior to and long before they had ever selected and chosen Obama to be the face for white oppression. And they used his face, his time in office, to overthrow the great democracy of Africa, all while spewing that he's a tyrant, right? And they have caused chaos wheresoever they have been and where they are now. And when things don't go their way, they continue to lash out at you and I, whether we be the black man in America or the black man up in Europe or the black man in Africa. They continue to, and yet have a military full of them, right? I want you to, what got my mind is I was reading an article today, right before the show, as I was scanning the news. And in Europe, with a military full of black people, just like in America, you don't see this on the news, they always trumpet the white people in front. But in the headline reads this, non-tolerant Estonia, which is a small Baltic state, formerly part of the Soviet Union, which is now a part of the EU and NATO. In the headlines read, non-tolerant Estonia. Locals send black NATO officers back to Nigeria. That's the headline. Now, you have black NATO officers who are there supposedly protecting them, but they hate you so much, and then you ask, what do you hate me for? I hate you for your black skin. I hate you because I can't be you. I hate you because I know that you are Alpha and that you are Omega. You are the beginning and the end of everything, and I know that my time is limited. So I hate you for it. I hate you when you try to integrate in my society, though I have to fool you. I hate you, even though you are trying to maintain my oppression and my grip over the entire globe. I hate you. I hate you even though you're there to protect my sovereignty as a nation. I hate you. This is the nature of them. The headline reads, a new racial scandal seems to be brewing in Estonia, where black NATO officers complain of being insulted by locals demanding that they go back to Nigeria. The incidents have been reported by Chief of Staff of Estonia Air Force, Colonel Jack Terrian, on his Facebook page, where he said that he was embarrassed and ashamed of the behavior of his countrymen. Now look, millions of black people are in the military of white nations, right? To protect their sovereignty, to protect their people, their governments, their constitutions. And this is from America to Australia to Canada, all over Europe. You are there promoting, propagating, and uplifting and maintaining white dominion over everybody else in your ignorance. Yet the white man himself knows that by nature, you are the God and he hates you for it. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? You there protecting their sovereignty. You go back to Nigeria, niggas. Well, what the intelligent thing for those black NATO officers to do was to take the uniform off, tell them where they can go civilized, and tell the NATO organization and the white countries that they represent to go to HE, and I won't continue that, and go and protect the sovereignty of black nations. Give your heart for the liberation of your own kind instead of maintaining white supremacy and oppression from Europe to Africa to South and Central America or on over to Asia. Isn't that something? You don't know how entrenched this is. That's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. You don't know the depths of the wickedness of that man. He is a man made of sin. That germ that was dominating us was a germ that is so negative that you can't make it positive unless you go into a rebirth. Right? In the black man, we need to understand this. Just like with batteries, just like with power conductors, you have, according to science, you have a positive and you have a negative charge. The black man has two germs in him. One a black germ and one a brown germ. And the black germ is the positive charge. And the brown germ is not. And this is where you get your grasping of people from. And no matter how much you try to make it positive, it is negative to the core. And we are reaching a point of no return, not just in America, but around the entire world and scope of geopolitics, economics, culture, and military. I don't think a lot of you, you're just not getting it. You just, because you have been inundated with what you think is right. You have been schooled by people who don't understand what is going on and what is about to happen and scripture and prophecy and theology and science. You don't get it. On the one hand, you say, oh, praise is due to Allah. On the other hand, I can't stand that nigga. Isn't that something? You have the mindset of the devil. What's so horrendous about us black men and black women that we can't forgive each other? Huh? Well, I believe that Donald Elijah Muhammad is dead, and that man believe he alive. So we can't work together. And then you go right there, the white man is the devil, and 5, 6, and 7 a.m., though you recognize him to be the devil, you're clocking in on his job. You're working for him, and you're working with him, yet you see that he's your open enemy, but you can't give a break to your own brother who is embracing 90-some% of what you believe. Do you understand that we are entering a point of no return? So the wheat and the tares are being sifted today through the trials and the tribulations that are taking place around the globe and within America herself. The devil knows our thinking because he put it in us. A nigga ain't nothing. That's what we say. Well, I bear you witness, but not in the terms that you're talking about. Because you're not a nigga. Unless you want to portray yourself as one. You're not a Negro. That's why Muhammad calls you a so-called Negro. Because this is what you were called by your former slave masters. And this is what you have denigrated into and become. Because of your lack of knowledge. My people perish because of the lack of knowledge. Isn't that what the Bible says? So you will boycott your brother Muslims and go into McDonald's, go into Burger King, eating that poison food, right? But I can't support that brother over there. No, he believes that the messenger's dead. Or he believes that the messenger's alive. Foolishness. The devil sees your childhood mind. Even though you are talking about you embrace the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Some people have to grow into understanding. But some people can't grow into understanding. Because they have created artificial barriers. Which hold back their thinking and which contains their brain and their mind so their thoughts cannot venture out to see more of God's great wisdom and blessing. But you don't get mad at your brothers and sisters for having that. What you do, you try to wake them and cajole them and uplift them to let them see your perspective, but be civilized about it. Not to mock and make fun of. That's the way of the devil. Don't you see how small you are in the mind of civilized people after receiving the knowledge of God? And you can't embrace your brother? And at the same time, you say you love the God who came to raise up and deliver each and every one of you? The point of no return. The devil is showing you daily how much you mean to him. He's showing you just how much he loves you, and just how much he's going to allow you to integrate in his society. He's showing you this through his policies, through his police enforcement, right? Through his wars of aggression and occupation. But you too petty and not mindful enough to be diligent in your studies and to try to be a living example of the word of God. Be not just hearers of the word alone. Be doers of the word, right? You are supposed to become a living example, an embodiment. You are supposed to strive. You say in your prayers, you strive to be upright to he who originates the heavens and the earth. God will hold you to account for that which you say in your oaths, in your prayers. Man, we're reaching a point of no return. You know, it's hard dealing with a hard-hearted, hard-head, stiff-necked and rebellious people. And I often sit to myself and I think about the division. And I thank Allah for sending brothers into my life, like Brother Salah Houdin and other brothers, whom I won't mention at this time. I thank Allah for that because they set up a bulwark, a foundation for me. So when I get anxious and 'cause we all do, and when I get almost overcome by the situation and I want to say, you know, the things are just, we got to do them, I go back to the basic foundation and I breathe and I realize that these things must come about because of prophecy. Regardless to what we want, prophecy must be fulfilled. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that he would try to beat prophecy. Me and two brothers was talking about this the other night. And he said, by making the truth so plain that not even a fool should err, you know, he would try to beat prophecy. And after he said that, he went right over to saying, but nevertheless, prophecy must be fulfilled. So how can this be? He is telling you that he would love to see. He would work as hard as he could to beat the old prophet's predictions. But in reality, he knows that their prediction must be done. He loves his people so much that he was giving his everything to try to beat the prophecy. But he knew that it could not be done. And so, this is where we are. Some of us, we think that we have a mind to do things that was not even put into the prophets or the apostles or the messengers of God. They don't spook God. No. But look at the condition that you're in. Somebody read a piece of the Holy Quran, and then they put a quote up. They didn't understand the quote that they put up. It was a beautiful quote about how Allah does not change the condition of a people until they themselves change. Right? See, the God is in you. You're not understanding that scripture, and you're using it in a way that is not becoming of it. How in the world can you free yourself from your oppressors, America, right, when other nations can't do it and they have far more access to resources, to financial things, to cultural connections with other countries, to political connections with other countries, to military with other countries? Yet you're sitting here, you're a dead Negro. Do you not understand that God allowed you to fall in such a condition to prove that in the day of judgment that he alone has power over all things? Not that you're going to get out on your own accord because you think that you have the ability to free yourself and to free your people. You don't. Prophecy didn't give it to you like that. Theology didn't give it to you like that. Science did not give it to you like that. Allah allowed for you to fall to such low degrees. So when he uplifts you and breaks the power of the oppressor and lifts you up to unimaginable heights, the whole world will have to say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Because America couldn't do it. She's a juggernaut and superpower. Russia couldn't do it. China couldn't do it. The Negro in the midst of you couldn't do it. It took one with all power and glory to do it. But we have become delusional with all of these makes and minds and mindsets of all of these people who misconstrue some, not purposely, but through the lack of knowledge, some willfully and purposely because they want to be seen as someone who knows things or to be great in the eyesight of people. We know you. Hell, we like you. We know how you are. We all came up from slavery. We've got to stop taking on mixed instructions and re-examine our mind, our lives, our thoughts, and our actions, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God put such a beautiful glory and light within our midst. Let us re-examine that light in the midst of darkness. And if we get some type type of light or ray of hope in the midst of darkness. Let that be the beacon of light to lead us out of this way that we have fallen headlong and head first into. Things are getting ready to speed up in the destruction. The crash is underway. America is losing everything that she's got. She's losing it. Hell, people talking about the homeless, talking about when we talk about there will be no jobs. Well, what about the people with jobs, huh? This is the condition that you see them in. And if you don't believe that we are nearing a point of no return, an inflection point, we're nearing the crossroads of change, then you are lost. But God got a way of finding you and waking you up, even when you don't think he can, right? If he could, he wouldn't be all powerful. And so what God is doing, he's catching the slave master, and he's catching the slave. He's showing you that there's no crutch that can prop you up anymore. There's no pacification, as Muhammad says in, where is it? Fall of America. Here we go. Fall of America, the last chapter. Page 255, I believe it is. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, according to radio and television, and according to individual conversations, and according to the conversation heard between government officials concerning their problem of trying to find a way to peace for their people and a way to stoppage of the fall of their money markets and unemployment and a stoppage to the revolutions between the dissatisfied and the dissatisfied, and to find a way to be able to eat and to keep the hungry eating from his own labor. Pacification is offered, but it does not satisfy. You see, they have been pacifying their ex-slaves for so long. I'm going to give you a job at Monsanto. You're going to make $30, $40 an hour, and you're going to have this good big pension, and you're going to be able to drive the biggest and the nicest cars when you retire. And so some of us, we had got accustomed to that. If I can become a postal worker, if I can become this, and I can retire, I can do this, and I can... Now you see that not even government jobs are safe anymore. Not even your pensions are safe anymore. Not even your bank accounts are safe anymore. Pacification is offered, but it no longer satisfies. Because we are nearing something that is of the grandest scale. And it's for your benefit and to their detriment. Even why many of you have jobs, many of you are on the level of poverty. God is trying to tell you something, that we are in the midst of change. I want you to listen to this black man and black woman and understand just how bad things are degenerating all across America. All across America. But we're going to give you a little part of it right here.
They service the city's streets, bridges, and subways. They work in libraries, schools, hospitals, social centers, and more. These people work to take care of the city. But as several hundred of New York's full-time workers allegedly don't earn enough to be able to afford a roof over their head, the question is the city doing enough to take care of them?
We have more complaints. We have more people calling the union, you know, that they're getting their utilities cut off because they don't have the money to pay. The cost of living in the city has skyrocketed within the last few years, higher than the national level, but they never compensated our workers for it.
Joe Puleo heads New York's largest blue-collar municipal workers union, which unites about 121,000 workers, and some full-timers earn as little as $24,000 a year. Just for comparison, 51 members of the City Council of New York earn $112,500 annually plus bonuses of up to $20,000, while New York's mayor earns annually $225,000. It turns out there's a different approach to people conducting different services to the city. For instance, if you're a police officer, a firefighter, or a sanitation worker, then your salary will actually increase depending on how long you serve the city. But if you're a park maintenance worker, your $33,000 annual salary will not increase depending on the current legislation, even though the cost of living will.
This was the gateway job to get out of poverty. The idea was you will never become rich, but then again, you will never be destitute. That's what they told you, and you'll have a pension to cover you. Now, pensions are also based on your average salary. So whatever your salary is, you essentially get half of that. So not only can people survive now, they can't survive during their retirement age.
Last September, Mayor de Blasio promised to provide a roof over the heads of all the workers in need. But they're talking about 80 people and not the hundreds that we're hearing about. Nevertheless, we tried to contact City Hall to find out if any progress has been made. They haven't replied to us so far. But still, even labor unions themselves, they say that they don't have the exact figures because many workers simply don't want to come out and admit that they've been living in their car for the past few months or at a homeless shelter. The city every day pays about $80 to house each of these workers, say, at a homeless shelter, while it could make more sense to actually use that money and just increase their salaries. Igor Piskunov, RT, reporting from New York.
What I'm trying to show you is that the prophet Daniel cannot be wrong. Because this desolation that is determined to be poured on the most desolate is aimed at the place in which we now live. And just remember what we talked about, Muhammad, after he tells you this. Remember, we've gone through this before. After he tells you what to expect, if you get amnesia, he knocks you on your noggin and says, and just remember that you cannot expect paradise here when such conditions of desolation is headed toward America. So some of you want to write this out of the scriptures. You want to write this out of the prophecies. I was talking to a couple people, but especially at one time I was talking to someone, and they were talking about, brother, I worked with such and such, and they were no good, and I worked with this, and I'm listening to the whole situation now. And they were no good. Brother, what we got to do, we can't trust nobody. We got to get our money, get something set up with one of the banks where nobody can take any money out of the bank, set up a council, put it in the white man's bank, and only with the, if four or five of us agree to it, can they take it. See, this is the mindset that the devil put in us. Everybody is a crook. Now look, they tell you not to trust nobody. And when they were talking about the other brothers and sisters, not to trust them, we'll put it in the bank. But you're trusting somebody with your money. And guess who you're trusting? Your age old open enemy to hold your funds. You don't trust your brother who has been smitten and bitten by this devil, but you'll trust the devil incarnate to hold your money. The madness. We don't look at this rational. But if we do, listen. The devil is already telling you that they will steal your money if they need to. That's what a bail-in is. That is what quantitative easing is. They're telling you if you have money in the bank and the banks are about to go belly up or if the government is about to go belly up, we'll stop you from accessing your money and we'll use it to pay on our debts. But you're going to trust the man who openly telling you, I'm gonna steal from you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to use you up, then I'm going to demonize you. You can forgive him, but you can't forgive your brothers who may have done something or said something or acted in a way that was unbrotherly or sisterly to you. But you don't know what was on that person's mind that day. They could have had a lot of things. And sometimes we have so many things in our minds, in our lives, and we hold them to ourselves, and we may act out on them. Not that they mean any wrong towards you. And you're willing to hold a grudge forever on that. No, that nigga did this to me, or that nigga acted that way towards me. And all the while you're going to your meetings, the white man is the devil. You're smiling at Mr. Johnny when you go to the office. You're smiling at Mr. Janney's children, right? And when you're not in Mr. Janney's face, you're at Mr. Janney's family's shop buying your food, paying your bills, right? But he's the devil. We are reaching a point of no return. The people are engulfed in madness and cannot see it. Muhammad says, and just remember that you cannot expect paradise. But if we do such and such, we can get out of the way of the devil. No, you cannot. You can make preparations for yourself by getting your mind right, by getting your heart right. Have you ever stopped to think about this, brothers and sisters? I hear a lot of calls, and I'm not pooing on anybody's thoughts or their or what they are planning. But have you ever thought about this? That it's hard in this day and time to get a large unified crowd of black people together. Have you ever thought about why? Have you ever thought about that? And have you ever thought about what will it take to get you on the same page? Well, according to scripture, and according to prophecy, and according to theology, it took successive catastrophic events to force a unification. Go read your first five books of Moses. Matter of fact, you can read the whole of the Bible and see. My thing to you is this, brothers and sisters. As I'm talking to you, I'm not telling you something outside the realm of prophecy. I'm not going to add my own two cents and science this stuff up for you. I'm going to tell it to you like it is, whether you like it or not. You can deal with it. I don't have to live your life. But what I am your brother, and the duty of a civilized man is to teach civilization to the uncivilized and to the civilized alike. Because sometimes we get amnesia. Now, as we speak on these matters of the heart, I told you I had stuff planned where I wanted to talk, but it's always a law. A law takes you where you want, where he wants you to be. Some of us, back to what I was saying, have you ever thought about why it is hard to unify the Negro? Everybody else, the Indians unify for their cause, right? The Mexicans unify for theirs. The Vietnamese unify for theirs, right? The so-called Hispanics unify for theirs. But the black man and woman who are up from slavery, they can't get in a room together and have the same viewpoint without somebody backstabbing. Have you ever noticed? Have you ever wondered why? Because you have been made by your oppressor. You, that stuff was beaten in you. And so even though you have accepted yourself as being a righteous Muslim or a follower, sometimes you still have a lot of crud from the old world. And that crud has to be beaten out of you. And time brings about change. Time brings about all things. And a lot of that crud, that's why Muhammad says that, no, it's not that you're going to come willingly. You're not just going to come on your free will. He said you must be divinely beaten and chastised. Well, if we go do this, that's not prophecy. That some of you are using basic math, and you're trying to come up with an algebraic or quantum equation. And you can't do it like that. Yes, basic math is the foundation of all of that, but there's progression. And if you hinder yourself from learning more, you will be stuck at the door of time, and you will be out of time as time progresses and move on. Yeah, yeah. Y'all have patience with me a little bit. We still got some time. We still got a little bit. I'm talking to my people. I'm talking whether you're Muslim or whether you have not reclaimed your own today. I'm talking to all of you today. I talk to you all every day. But what I'm trying to show you is sometimes we have certain things in our head. I was there. You know, a lot of the people now talking about the land deal. For years, I had a, before I grew up in understanding, that's exactly what I was promoting. And one day it shocked me. I was studying, and I looked down and I saw, I said, no. So that night I reread the whole of Fall of America, and I made footnotes. And people who know me can verify this. I made footnotes and I highlighted stuff and I made notes. I mean, I was up all night to the next day making footnotes. And I didn't just reread Fall of America. I reread three of the main books, Fall of America, our Savior has arrived and message to the black man, and I had promised myself that I would not let sleep or slumber overtake me until I read those books over and made the proper footnotes to see if what I was reading is what corresponded to prophecy. So when I was done, I had this tablet full of notes. I had all types of notes. So then I went into, I'll never forget, I think it was about 4 or 5 in the morning. I picked up the Bible, and I started turning that over and making footnotes. And I have a Bible already with footnotes throughout it. So making that, and then I start thinking, I start analyzing. And I said, you know what, maybe I've been kind of in a box in my thinking of this. Now, mind you, we can go back and prove this. If you go back a couple years ago, a few years ago, you'll see that I had, long before these people were talking about we got to get this and we got to get that, I had things up on the website about that. Not one of the people who are calling for it today ever donated one iota to that. Not once. So they don't trust, but they want you to trust them. You understand? This shows you the lie. See, we're not logical in our thinking. We're not deep thinkers, even though we want the world to think that we are. But let's go to something. So as I looked and I started reexamining what I was reading, I started going back and I started making notes of the words that led up to the main word, right? And I would get the definitions. And I would look over all of this stuff and cross-check everything to make sure that what I was reading was what I was reading, what I was understanding was what I was understanding, because I didn't want to come to the people and tell them something other than what Elijah Muhammad and God had given to him for us. I wanted it to be exact. Because, you know, sometimes when we hear something, you know, we'll be listening to a tape, or especially when we're trying to transcribe something, unknowingly and unwittingly, we'll hear something other than what is being said, and we'll write it in. Right? So I try my best not to do that when we are dealing with the word of God. Because I don't want God on me. Because I don't believe that Master Farad Muhammad is God. I don't believe that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of God. I know it. And I prove it every day on the show and on the website. I know it. So I'm past belief. Not another thing needs to happen to get my heart over there. My heart is over there, and to me and for me and my house. As long as I'm the head of the house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's the way I look at it. And my wife will tell you the same thing. People who have talked to her know it. She said he'll tell you in a heartbeat. If I don't want the teachers, if I don't want the truth, there's the door. But as long as I want the truth, he wants me. This is real, brothers and sisters. I'm not telling you something that's outside the realm of facts. But in our mind, we see something and we gravitate to something that, you know, that hits home with us a little bit. And we overlook other things because we find a justification of this and that outside of the whole of something. And in an ever-changing world, you better get on your P's and Q's and reexamine everything that you hold dear to you, because we are reaching a point of no return. You're not going to be able to say that this wasn't the truth. You're not going to be able to say that the brother added to or took away from. You're not going to be able to say that he couldn't defend the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Defend him every day, like they say on the street, day, all day. That's real. In the midst of all of this, I can be loved by everybody. I can be, like what they say, try to be all things to all people. But that's not what it's about. It's your duty is to please God, to do what's incumbent upon you as a believer and a follower. Your duty is to give your all in the cause of truth, even if it isolates you from everybody else. I can sell millions of books if I went back to gutter talking and street slinging and trying to fit in with the 5%ers over here and the Hebrew Israelites over there. And I can do all of that. But that's not what Rashid Muhammad is about. I could have an audience of a million people, but I prefer the tens of thousands that we have now that will give in to what is being said. Because I refuse to do something or to teach you something outside of the realm of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, which is the undisputed truth. I'm going to give it to you just like it was given. Now, I haven't left my subject that I'm talking about, the point of no return. What I'm trying to get over to you is we have it in our mind. And once we get something in our mind, you know the Negro. It's hard to get it out of him. It's hard to get it out of him. And here you have books, writings, teachings, lectures of people saying certain things that you can, well, in this day I won't say that you can present to the people as the truth, because in this world, a lot of you I call you YouTube people or microwave people, because you want it instantly. You don't have the patience to wait and do the diligent search yourself. You're lazy people. So you're always up in somebody else's face. You want it right now. You're the microwave generation. Instead of going through the trials and the tribulations, because you must remember, to have anything that is special or that is great, there's a sacrifice. And the greater the sacrifice, the greater the reward. You can't be born, some of you who are in the sports, you can't be born and just go into a ring and be the greatest fighter. You have to put in time, sacrifice, and dedication. A lot of you want to skip that. And you want to be seen as knowing this and knowing that. You don't want to sacrifice. And that's one of the greatest pillars of Islam. Right? Charity. Sacrificing of yourself. We're nearing the point of no return, black man and black woman. Now, going back to what I was saying, as we talk on these things, people, they're stuck in their mindset, and no matter how much you tell them or show them, because they have boxed themselves in, their limited wisdom will not allow them to unlock the door. They've locked their door, and they've lost the key. And all the while, they're inviting people into the room through the window. But what we're trying to do is tell you, no, you don't have to be isolated in the room of knowledge. Come on outside of this small house and explore that which is infinity and infinite, the wisdom of God. Can I talk to my brothers and sisters today? We are always talking about the economics. We always talking about the geopolitics. Let me talk to my people, okay? I don't get paid for this. Matter of fact, I pay out for this in every sense of the word, sacrificing time and money and everything just to get this out to you. And it's a labor of love. But you have people who are so narrow-minded that they get offended when you don't accept their perception. They don't, when you don't come over to their side. And all the while you're showing them scripture unfolding. Listen, some of them say, well, brother, see, we got to get this, and the messenger say we got to separate. Yes, but there's a process to that. And you don't understand it. If you were to separate in this beast land, right now, right here, with the mind state and the actions of most of you so-called Muslims, man, it'll be a shootout to OK Corral. You'll be shooting, and you have turf wars over in the place where you at, and you have to call that devil back over there. This nigga shot me. This nigga stabbed me. Because this is the mind that you have. Putting on righteous cloth and saying, As-salamu alaykum, does not make you a true believer. That is left up to Allah and Allah only. You have to, just with anything, there's a process. You have to grow into this. You have to reject the devil. Right? In every sense of the form of the word devil, you got to grow into your godly state. Now, according to Scripture, and see, a lot of you want to make Scripture out to be a lie because it don't conform to what you believe. Because what you, some, I'm talking home now, I'm talking to the Muslims. Because it does not conform to what you have held dear to you, you want to make it out to be a lie. I continue to tell people, and brothers and sisters, I know it sounds boastful, but it's not. Go read the five first books of the Old Testament and see whether or not Allah, in the person of Jehovah, allow Moses, the Israelites, to separate in the land of Pharaoh. Show me that. Show me in there. And remember, the messenger said that these things that took place in the life of Moses must now take place in the life of the modern day Moses and his people, right? Show me anywhere where they were allowed to separate in the house of bondage. You cannot do it. Matter of fact, hopefully we'll have a show on this next week, and maybe I'll be able to bring up, because some of you lazy, you won't do it yourself. In that book, I think God was asked about that. And he said he was not going to allow them to separate in the land of Pharaoh. He said because they will start to integrate. And as they integrate, they will start to assimilate. And this would bring on his wrath on them also. So he said, tell the people that I won't let them stay in this land with Pharaoh. Now God is talking. Brothers and sisters, go read your Bible. If what Rashid Muhammad says is not scripture, if what he's saying is not the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, if what I am saying is not the word of God, then surely you will be able to disprove what I'm saying. Easily. But it's written in the scriptures. And as Muhammad says, you just cannot make the prophets of God out to be liars unless you are able to make God a liar. God told, I'm going to bring them out. That's why he promised them a land. If he had no intention of bringing them out, he would have given them that land in the land of Pharaoh, right? But he said, I'm going to bring them out. Now you go to the elders and you tell them to go do this, and this. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, and our Savior has arrived, that the elders only came to Moses by way of disputation. That's, and our Savior has arrived. They didn't want, because what Moses was saying was different from what they thought. Matter of fact, page 9, our Savior has arrived, bottom paragraph, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, Jehovah told Moses to go first to the elders of Israel and say to them, the Lord your God, not Pharaoh's God, but your God, the God of your fathers, has appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and have seen that which is done unto you in Egypt, America. He puts in parentheticals, America. This is in Exodus. He says, but the elders would not even meet with Moses, only by way of disputation. That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. Right? And so it is with us today. We are walking in the spirit of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the modern day Moses, and the elders are only coming by way of disputation. Right? Nowhere in the first five books of Moses does God ever say that he would allow the separation? He talks about separate all throughout there. He talks about a promised land. But he never says that he's going to allow them to separate in the land of Moses, in the land of Pharaoh. He says he's going to take them out. And remember, they had that when they were on their way out, when they were being taken, they had to have a new learning, a new understanding that Pharaoh could not hear. Because God wanted to make them a new people. same thing that must take place today. We at the point of no return. This is the truth laid out completely. And some, this devil, think about this. I was looking at, I think it was Russia Today, a few weeks ago, and they were talking about the plight of the Native Americans, the Indians here, and how the government continues to chip away at all of the agreements that were signed, and they continue to steal the land and continue to steal the valuable resources on those reservations. When we look at the Indians, who signed hundreds of treaties, not dozens, let me say this again, who signed hundreds of treaties with America, and according to the documentary, America has yet to honor one of them. One, not two, not three, not four, but one of them. We look at them and we say, look at the Indians. They have reservations. They control their own land. They control it up to a point. They don't have defined borders where they can have their own military, where they can override the federal government. Why? Because if master allows that to happen in his house, he no longer is the supreme authority in his own land. He would never allow that willingly. And that's why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that the devil makes retractable laws. Retractable laws. That means he makes them according to how he feels. Remember, he grants. He said you can. He can vote. And then when the external pressure was on you, he retracted it. Well, you can vote. But you got to vote through a presidential act. And once this presidential act is up, it must be re-signed by the president every so often. Now, you the person that's been here forever and dragged here in chains, not the Mexicans. But you've been beaten. You've been dragged here in chains, right? You've been flipped. You've been tossed. You've been raped and murdered. You've been defrauded and demonized. Yet your rights lie in the goodwill of the president, not enshrined in the Congress or the Declaration of Independence or in the Constitution. No. Everybody else is. The Vietnamese can come here. They have a right to vote. The Mexicans who are, they say, the illegals come here and they can vote. The Indians come here and they can vote. But you black man must have an act of Congress or a presidential decree to vote every so often. Isn't that something? Yet you are American. You're a fool on top of that. All praise is due to Allah for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We'll go to the little call in real quick. Make your comments brief or short. 234, you're on the Star and Crescent Report with your cyberspace family. I say unto you, assalamu alaikum. 234, okay. I guess they hung up. Okay. All praise is due to Allah. Now, let's go back to what I was talking about. About scripture. About in the land, you will not be able to do that because God has a work that he's going to do, and he's going to burn America up. And no life, Muhammad teaches us, and the Bible bears with that this would be the lake of fire that is talked about in the Bible. And no life will be permitted to live here because the conditions will be inhospitable to life on earth. You're not going to make that into a lie. You can't make that God's word into a lie. Remember, let's go back to what I was reading out of the Messenger's The End of the War speech, article number 3, August 3rd, 1973. This is one of my favorite articles. He says, and just remember that you cannot expect paradise. Well, if we go do this, when the thing comes down, we'll have this. And just remember, for those of you who are getting convenient amnesia, that you cannot expect paradise here when such condition of desolation is headed toward America. And then you say, but if we do this, and if we see, you're taking the messenger's teachings out of their place. You're taking them out of context. You're trying to make something that is not be and something that is not be. You're trying to turn it up or upside down on his head. So you say, we. But listen to what Elijah Muhammad follows that up with. And since we, the same we you talking about, cannot make prophets' words other than the truth, we expect this desolation, and we are receiving this desolation now. You don't think we're receiving the desolation? You don't believe it? Well, listen.
In Chicago yesterday, there was a mass march and a sit-in against the International Conference of Chiefs of Police. And really what is happening here is the unstoppable force is meeting the unmovable object. And what I'm referring to is the unstoppable force is the movement that emerged last summer after the uprising in Ferguson, Missouri. That movement is called the Black Lives Matter movement, but more broadly, it's a movement to stop police crimes. You see, the police in the communities of African Americans, Chicanos, and other Latinos in the United States is an occupying army. So yesterday there was a convention of the International Association of Chiefs of Police, and hundreds of people rallied and marched and sat in to oppose them. The unifying demand was for an end to police crimes and for democratic community control of the police. Over and over again, the police force in the U.S. Has benefited from impunity. Racist cops murder blacks and Latinos, and then they don't go to prison. Many of the elected officials in the U.S. are talking now about police accountability, and the movement is going beyond just talking about accountability. The movement wants control over the police because the various ways that the politicians have tried to stop the police crimes have all failed. Yesterday, over 65 protesters were arrested as they shut down the entrances to the McCormick Convention Center here in Chicago. The protesters that sat in were young people, and they chained themselves together to block the entrances to this International Police Chiefs Convention. The support march that took place of about 500 people was organized to support the sit-in. And again, the main call from the marchers was for community control of the police, an elected civilian police accountability council. That is the only way that the affected communities mm-hmm. will be able to bring an end to the violence and that is perpetrated against them on a daily basis, is when they use democracy to bring an end to the police occupation of their communities.
Now, this is a white man talking. He's showing you what's going on in America. He's showing you that insurrection, that unrest that Muhammad talked about. I think it's in, hold on 1 second. Chapter 53, Muhammad says, the great commotion of the government and people of America, the civil unrest, insurrection, mental excitement, and noisy confusion. There is no action that is being taken, nor can there be any action taken that could bring the people to a better condition of civil action. The white American people have practiced evil and injustice to the man in the mud, the black slave, for so long that they think that there would never be any divine action taken against them for such evil and injustice. But this is what is now affecting her. It is the actions of the divine justice for the poor man. Stop right there. We don't want to be in the midst of this. Some of us say, well, they're killing us. They ain't killing us no more than they've been killing us since we've been amongst them. Their nature is to kill, especially if you look like us. But God is just showing you. Remember, the Bible says that God comes after the workings of Satan. It says that the man of sin must first be revealed. How can he be revealed? Let him loose. Remove the curtains. And let the people who are in love with him see him how he actually is. You know, you might look at this man walking down the street and he may look like, man, look at that man. He's handsome. He's bronzed. He has beautiful hair. Look at him taking care of himself. And then if you go peep in his window, he's drinking alcohol, smoking this, laying up with other men, right? He takes his girdle off and his belly falls to his toes. But you would have never seen that unless you got a different view. So in the manifestation of the separation, remember some people keep talking about this. When Muhammad talks about separation, it has to be along the lines of prophecy. He says that he does not lead the people per se. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us. He says, God has taken over his brain, his heart, his mind, and his spirit, and God does not lead the messenger to do the guiding. God guides the people through the messenger. He is a vehicle, a divine instrument of guidance. Like, to give you an example of what I'm talking about, NASA. Some of you know about NASA, so you know that they go out in space, but you didn't know that NASA gives you your GPS coordinates. It's their satellites. You think about GPS, but the GPS alone doesn't do it. It's NASA. NASA uses something to guide you, to steer you, but this coordinate, this GPS, the divine GPS system, does not lead you wrong. You understand? So, the brutality, the homelessness, the hunger, the outrage, the insurrection, all of this is part of what God uses to separate. It's not just going to be a separation in America. We're the first ones to be separated, but this is global. That's why the book says, when somebody wanted to separate, they saw the tares coming up amongst the wheat. They had the same characteristics in the early stages of the wheat. But it held them back and said, no, 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 leave them alone. Because you might inadvertently harm the wheat. And you might allow one of the tares in. Let both the wheat and the tares come up together to the day of harvest. Right? That means the separation had to be done in stages. Couldn't just do it then. Certain things had to come about to force this matter. According to scripture. According to the prophets. And as Elijah Muhammad teaches us, and since we cannot make prophets' words other than the truth, we expect this desolation, and we are now receiving this desolation now. Right? Don't be mad at me, black man and black woman. This is a brother who loves you. Though I've never seen your face, I love you. But always remember that Allah and his messenger loves you best. And I'm trying to get you to understand the situation that America is facing is the same situation that ancient Egypt, under Pharaoh's rule, had to face. Let's go. Page 213, since we're talking about Pharaoh and Egypt. A fall of America. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. He says, Allah is now doing as it is prophesied. Holy Quran, chapter 13:41. Visiting the land, curtailing it of its size. Stop right there. What it's talking about, the earthquakes. I was looking at, you can go to the Highlands 1555 blog. I was looking at a geological study that said in the last 2 weeks, the Bay Area have been hit with over 400, not four, not 40, not four dozen, over 400 earthquakes. 400. Look at the storms. Look at the rain. Look at the hurricanes. Look at the drought. Look at the intense cold weather out of nowhere. What did Elijah Muhammad say? Allah is now doing as it is prophesied. Holy Quran, chapter 13, verse 41. Visiting the land, curtailing it of its size. The foolish still are foolish until he gets cast in a narrow place and cannot turn to the right or the left, as it was with the donkey that Balaam was riding. Now, this is what I'm telling you. You're not seeing the thing. Right now you won't see it because it is not your perception to see it until you are put in certain positions where you are all but forced to acknowledge what is right before you. This is where we are. It's called the inflection point, the crossroads, the point of no return. He goes and says, he came to a narrow place between two walls. He could not turn around. He had to stop face to face with the angel or be destroyed. Let it be remembered, in case you forgot, he says, let it be remembered that Allah came forth for the redemption to deliver the American black people from their tormentors. Now look, he's telling you that God is going to do this. God's going to deliver you. God's going to redeem you. God is going to destroy the people who have oppressed and tried to destroy you. As thou hast done America, so shall it be done unto thee. In fact, it is being done unto thee as we speak. So Muhammad goes further and says, whether we like it or not, this is what I say to you all, right? Whether we like it or not, he, not we, not they, not them, not us, he, singular, will do this. Now, what's important about that statement there is because in this book, this sentence is the next to the last sentence of the paragraph, right? And just like with any other sentence, it starts out with a capital letter. And then it goes on with other words that are lowercase. But when it gets to he will do this, it is in caps to emphasize something for those who are impatient, who may not be aware of or knowledgeable enough to see, and who are thinking that the power resides within them. He goes and says, whether we like it or not, he will do this. This is the work of Allah, which is in effect. So that means it is underway. Whether you see it, whether you acknowledge it, or whether you accept it, it does not matter. Because the prophets had prophesied it, and God has spoken it. Therefore, time and events must bring it about. The point of no return. So we're on this Egypt thing. Remember? The next paragraph starts like this. Let America use the history of the fall and destruction of ancient Egypt and her pharaohs. Let their histories serve as a warning. Why? Why would you single out that? Because if that is to serve as a warning, that is an example of what to expect later on. Right? Now let's go back. Did Allah allow Moses and the children of Israel to separate in the land of Pharaoh? Because Muhammad says, let America use the history of the fall and destruction of ancient Egypt and her pharaohs. Let their history serve as a warning. They all were brought to naught for their evil done to a people whom Allah has chosen for an example of these last days, the lost found black slaves and their slave masters. Uh-oh. He knocks it out the box with that. He's telling you that why should you look at Egypt? Why should you look at Pharaoh? Why should you look at Moses and the Israelites? Because what happened then will take place today. That was only a sign of what is to come. and what is underway. I know some of you get mad, but this stuff is written. And don't be mad or harsh with the brother. All I'm doing is trying to convey to you exactly what you say you follow. All I'm doing, I know some of you get mad, but I call it the sleep syndrome. You know, you're real tired. You've been at work all night, all day. And you get off work, you go home, you want the lights off, and you go to sleep. And as soon as you get into a good sleep, somebody flips the light on, and you immediately turn that light back off because your eyes have problem adjusting to that light because they've been dim or dark for so long. But when you open them up and you adjust them a little bit, you can flip the light back on and see things more clearly, right? That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. We're trying to show you that God is real. He's not a play God. He will fulfill the promises that he has given to us. I know. I'm an example of them. How a person can be taken from nothing and given everything. Not to have a pot to pee in or a window to throw it out of. And in the span of 2 years, buy five houses. Five cars. And prior to that, couldn't buy five sandwiches. I know that he's real. See, some people, they're telling you about a spook God. I'm telling you about a real God. A God that the whole world has been searching for. A Savior that it was pronounced under the name of Christ Jesus is now in the person of one Master Farad Muhammad. The God, the Redeemer, the one whom your salvation lies in. Isn't it beautiful when you find out these things? It's a beautiful time to be a follower of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. I tell you, it's beautiful. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you the truth here. I'm not telling you something outside the realm of truth. This is why they do not openly challenge what I'm saying. They'll say it behind closed doors. But they won't openly challenge these things because they have no basis to stand on. They'll go back and revert to that old Christian way of doing things. Well, I believe. Well, I'm just going to do this. Well, I'm just going. That's ignorance. And you are in love with ignorance and blissful love with ignorance. That's not the mind of a believer whom we are taught to seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave and to shun knowledge if it condemns you, if it condemns your perception. Shows the world that you are not just unworthy of the truth, but you are unworthy to escape the judgment of God and enter into the hereafter. You still with me? The lines are jam-packed today. So I'm glad Allah put this in my head and my heart to talk to you. Because I wanted to go into the economic collapse. But it's not what I want. Again, it's never been about what I want. Hell, I want a lot of money. But right now, God don't see fit to give it to me. All praise is due to Allah. Because I can see myself helping so many people. But this is not the time for that, else God would have given it to me. Or he would have opened up doors and corridors for me to access that. The same it is. Everything is done in time. The Bible says there's a season unto all things, right? A season. There's a season to be with the devil, and there's a season to be separated from the devil. And this, we are living in the season of separation because you won't be able to hide behind the cloak of I did not know. I was not able to find out. That cloak there has long been pulled down. You will have to acknowledge that God has come and is now in person and that his teachings are the only thing that will get you out of this madness that is taking place today. This devil is scared of what he sees coming off. He sees he's in trouble in Asia. He's in trouble in the Middle East. He's in trouble in South America. He's even in trouble in Europe and at home in America, right? We told you how this thing would jump off. It will be Africa and the Middle East, which is the same thing when we say the Near East, we're talking about North Africa and the Middle East. And the jump off, it continues.
So Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says the U.S. will begin direct action on the ground against the Islamic State forces in Iraq and Syria. You know what's happening here, don't you? The United States is going to be bringing boots into Syria and into Iraq. Ground troops. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone that's listening right now, this is going to be the start of World War III. Because you know they're not going to be fighting the Islamic State. Because there's the Syrian army and there is Russia. And if the United States brings in troops, this whole thing is going to be blown out of proportion. And we're going to see the start of World War III. Will it start tomorrow? No, but down the line, as troops continually flow into these countries, the situation will get worse and worse and worse. Obama right now is considering moving U.S. forces deeper into Syria and Iraq. We understand and we know what's happening here. Everything is in motion. We are headed towards World War III.
I hope that you are getting this. I hope that you are understanding where we are in prophecy. The jump-off point, see, we told you this. We kept telling you, we're not talking about global war. See, even with global war, there are steps and methods for that to happen. The jump-off point for all of these wars are North Africa and the Middle East. That's why they are planning on going in there, and they're deploying troops at record levels. They're deploying weaponry. America, Europe, and Australia and New Zealand, they are at a point now where they have become outright desperate, right? So you see their police forces, especially if you go to England or the UK, they're treating the blacks there the way America treats the blacks here, but the messenger had foretold all of that stuff. And some of you are acting like this is new. Well, such and such, and this white man says over here, well, the messenger had long said it. And the only reason I play the clips of the white man is to lend credit to what the messenger says. So, because I know you Negroes, you don't accept things coming out of the mouth of a black man. So you'll go and run, Peter Schiff said this and that. But then we say, okay, he did say that. But who said it first? Did Elijah Muhammad come over to what they said? Or is time and circumstance forcing them to bow to what Elijah said? Do you understand? Do you see how things are? And it is only getting worse for them. They cannot get out of the situation that God has them snared in. Yeah, they've been ensnared. And they know that the end is near, black man and black brother. They know these things. They see the whole system of the West collapse.
Now, we've been hearing a lot from the European nations where they're telling us that everything is fine, we're in a recovery. We're hearing from the UK that everything looks good. And we are getting information that everything is not as good as they say. In Britain, the economic recovery has slowed now to 0.5%. between the months of July and September. And this was following a slump in construction. The third quarter of 2015 is now down from 0.7% seen in the second quarter. And this was lower than the economists expected. Their manufacturing shrank for a third quarter in a row. Construction is suffering its biggest contraction in 3 years. And that has dropped around 2.2%. And what we're seeing is individual European nations, the UK, Germany, they are all heading in the same direction as the United States and Canada and Australia and Switzerland. Because this system that they created, which creates a lot more debt than there is money to pay that back, cannot be sustained.
What did he tell you? What did he describe? America, Canada, Europe, New Zealand, Australia. What is he saying to you? That the Western or the white world is declining and falling, collapsing, and they are angry, and the book says, and the nations were angry. But why were they angry? Because it was time that the dead in God rise. This is what's going on. This is what is underway, and they cannot stop the bum rush. That's why they are mad and raging wars all across the globe and trying to destabilize and overthrow independent-minded government for the people to install puppets so that they can maintain their rule just a little bit longer. But long before America, NATO, and their allies ever came about, God had already worked out the destruction and fall of these beasts. Our God is not cheap. He's not something that you can outthink, outfox, or overthrow. His word be, must, and will stand regardless to whom or what. And well, we're seeing the whom and we're seeing the what as it undergoes a change. And collapse is undergoing right now, black man, black woman. Just listen to what they're saying. And all, and before we go to that, remember, as you're listening to this, all of this is being done to break the white man's influence, to break his attraction power, to break his stranglehold over the lives, over the minds, over the hearts of the aboriginal people of the earth, to return them back to their state of glory and to remove that which has hindered us for 6,600 years. You understand? So when you look at it like that, you get a deeper understanding of what is taking place, why it is taking place, and how it's to your benefit that God is manifesting his power to deliver you at all costs. What our Savior say? That he would eat a rattlesnake to deliver you. To listen to this good. He wasn't talking about a physical rattlesnake. He was talking about the United Snakes of America. Right? The greatest pillar of Anglo dominance. And that he would walk up in, not walk up, but walk up in a mountain 40 miles high just to teach one, right? What is, we know in scripture and theology that governments represent mountains and mountains represent governments. So he's telling you that he's going to walk up in that mountain to tell them, you got to correct yourself, because after the 40 years of the messenger or the 40 miles, I'm going to put some hell on you that Ajax and bleach can't get off of you. Hmm? This is what God is delivering to that snake that he's chewing up, that snake called America. Isn't it beautiful when you see it? Isn't it beautiful to understand? It's one thing to have knowledge. It's one thing to have wisdom. But I say unto you all, huh? It is really beautiful. And above all things, get an understanding of what you are seeing. Look at what's going on in America.
Here in the United States, what are we seeing? We are seeing the economy completely falling apart. Everything is flashing red, saying recession, depression, depression, collapse. We're heading in this direction. Now, the United States government uses the conference board to let everyone know how consumers feel, what their confidence level is at. And, of course, they brought the gas prices down to make everyone feel better, that they have more money. But it really hasn't been working. And remember, the conference board, that is a paid organization where they receive funds from the United States government. Now, they're continually showing that everyone's confidence is up. It dipped a little bit, but their graph is trending upward. Now, on the opposite side, we have Gallup, which is a Gallup poll, which is taken by everyday people. And their consumer confidence model is completely different than the conference board. Their model shows that everything is trending downward in a declining. Basically, Gallup's economic confidence registered negative 13 for the week ending October 25th, which kind of matched last week's. And we're seeing that this has been in a downward trend since January, which shows us that the actual people are saying, you know something, this economy is not getting better.